are still on components.
Jim Berg, and I'm from Blue Hill. And I guess my connection is mainly because I go into the jail. I've been going to the jail for the last 10 years. I go in there once a week, every afternoon for the last 10 years. And I kind of see the kind of the criminal justice system from pretrial through incarceration, I mean, the county jail, one prison, sometimes back again, and sort of the loop again. And I, you know, have a fairly good sense of how the system works, you know, from my perspective. I think you guys have a hard job, and in the sense that we have advocates for change here, and we also have advocates for basically the status quo, where you have kind of an, you know, fairly entrenched institution that does its job, knows how to do its job. Change is always the problem. My position is I'm just simply advocating because I deal with inmates. I do a men's group, and I teach writing. So I really, you know, I'm basically an advocate for that. I think kind of this whole thing kind of summarizes to that point. You know, people sort of like really advocating for inmates. Inmates are not real popular. I mean, people, most people on the street, probably most of your constituents, probably are really not that interested in leniency. They like to hear punitive rhetoric. And I'm the same way. I mean, I had that same feeling. And then I started going to into the jails. And I got to know people. And there's an old saying that, you know, you're not afraid of the things that you have a natural curiosity to know about. And so I got to know prisoners. Anyway, I'm just going to read a couple of excerpts. It seems to me that the two groups here, one group has, you know, a strong bias in terms of prisoners, and the other group is really trying to maintain their job. They have a certain perspective on the situation, and they're on the inside. And I think that prisoners don't have a very powerful voice, so I'm sort of pleased to be speaking for them. And that sort of represents my position. Anyway, I have and these are very recent. We have, somebody mentioned earlier about data, and we have put into your portfolios a lot of statements, really are letters that we've received. We kind of keep in touch with people over the time. So I consider this data because what they are really are individual case studies. Whether they're true or can be verified is another thing. But what I'm seeing is a lot of collective information that bears out. It's not sort of idiosyncratic. It kind of, there's a certain redundancy here. There's a redundancy on both sides, and you'll find redundancy here. And I'll just really get it abbreviated. Okay, my name is Jacob McGinnis, Sr., and I am the presently doing a 19-year bid. Right now, I'm doing 23 hours of solitary confinement in the supermax of a state prison called the Special Management Unit. The administration or the captains, they tell us prisoners who are in high-risk status, that is, this is not punishment, but instead just a higher level of classification. I would have to disagree. Being locked down in a 12-by-6 concrete cell for at least 23 hours, 7 days a week, for a minimum of 6 months, having almost no positive human contact, having almost all of my property taken away, which, you know, that's really, you know, having your property taken away, I don't think any of us would like that. I'll have one 10-minute call per week, access to 3 showers a week, and they say this is not punishment. Well, truth be told, it's torture. We are being left in these cells not to be taught a lesson, but to be taunted, pushed over the edge, to be psychologically and spiritually broken down, and for some of us to lose our integrity, our dignity, and our minds. To be locked in a concrete cage for months causes depression, and in most cases it causes severe anxiety and antisocial behavior once the prisoner is put back into the general population. It's not a psychologist, it's a guy who's in the SMU talking. You can only read so much in a day or walk back and forth in a 12-foot area before your mind starts to spin out of control. I've seen several men attempt to commit suicide, and a few times almost did just that. one prisoner cut a main artery and painted Bible scripture on his walls because he felt the Lord told him to do so. I've watched several of the correctional officers taunt and push and ignore one prisoner until that prisoner ended up covering his cell door window and cutting his wrist just to get a sergeant to come and speak with him. It's a hard way to get attention. Okay, this one is anonymous, and it's dated November 09. I am so happy to hear about you guys trying to change what goes on in the Supermax. I know I have lived it. Seeing people hanging themselves, cutting their wrists, necks, smashing their heads off the walls, painting themselves with feces, eating out of a toilet, starving themselves. Sorry for that graphic. People getting tortured because the CEOs can get away with it. Now, this is not an indictment of all CEOs. Some are more criminal than most of the criminals. They are not all bad, but lots there are way worse than we could ever think about being. Another testimony, this was January of this year. I have been here for 19 months in the SMU for defending myself. I have not suffered physical abuse from CEOs, but have endured very aggressive verbal abuse and taunts from them. Okay, this is one from November 09. Solitary confinement messes up people in the head. Sooner or later, you don't know how to deal with other people anymore. This lasts for a lifetime. It gets better slowly, but never dissipates completely. It's an interesting commentary because the SMU creates social behavior. What I see and what I've heard from many, many guys is that you get out of the SMU or solitary, you go back in the general population and act out again, and you create a kind of a circular situation because you don't really deal well as an individual in a social situation which is present. If the legislation doesn't mess it up, the DOC will, either in interpretation or through some loophole they claim to find. Larry Parks, 11-22-09. In 1996, I was returned to the Supermax. I spent the next 3.5 years there. Even I didn't have any idea as to the way some of these inmates would react to being confined 23 hours a day. Some would cut themselves up. One guy tried setting himself on fire, and some would bang their heads against the doors. That seems to be fairly common. Those who didn't have a TV took it to a higher level. They started throwing feces and urine on officers or another inmate they didn't like. Here's Bill Leland. I'm almost finished.
Excuse me. Is this something that you're providing, these written comments?
These are all in your, every one of these are in your folders, and I'm simply extracting you. You can read them in their totality.
And if you prefer, we could let that. We have made a promise that whatever testimony is provided to us, we will read.
Okay.
And make sure. And I appreciate that.
Okay.
I appreciate the information sincerely.
Okay. I think I covered a lot of the bases there, and I think you've heard it before as well.
Okay. Thank you. And it was not my intention to not hear your viewpoints, but
I appreciate everybody here and staying to these hours.
Thank you. Are there any questions, Mr. Bergen, at this point? Seeing none, thank you. And